All right, if you will, turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. We've been looking on Wednesday nights about the enemies of Israel. And we're taking a look at Amalek being listed here in Psalm 83. Psalm 83 has kind of been a guideline that we have used. The nations that are mentioned there are Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek and the Philistines, the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. The scripture says they have holpen the children of Lot. Amalek is the one that we're on, and this is a very old and long-running nation. And in regards to Israel being given the land of Canaan, the Lord working amongst mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, the Lord working amongst nations, and it is His work. We are His creation, and He does work amongst this world that He's created and the inhabitants thereof. He deals with nations, and in this Leviticus chapter 18, I've been mentioning this, and I've been promising you that we'd take a quick look at it, and so we want to do that tonight before we continue on with Amalek and the Amalekites. Listen to what the Lord says here in Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. So the Lord takes exception to the way they operated in Egypt. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. So the Lord's got an exception with the doings, the things going on in the land of Canaan. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And the Lord goes on down through here, and it's not necessary for us to read all of these. You can do so when you have opportunity. I encourage you to do so. But here the Lord's going to set some bounds as far as marriage. And he's describing here about nakedness. Remember when Adam and woman fell. When they fell because of sin and took part of the tree that the Lord told them not to eat of, one of the things that the Lord did is clothe them. And clothe them when it was just their household and their home. Nakedness is an issue with the Lord, and nakedness is an issue because of sin. And so nakedness doesn't need to be revealed. There's several different combinations that are going through down through here. And understand this revealing of nakedness, we know because of medical reasons, because of children being young and needed to be tended to and such as that we know that the Lord is not talking about those things. But for the sake of entertainment, for the sake of enjoyment, for the sake of lustful things, the revealing of the nakedness of family and others is not, it's not to be. Nakedness, our nakedness is to be covered, and we need to pay attention how we do so and do very well with it, because it's an issue with the Lord. Listen to what the Lord, how he wraps up this chapter in verse number 24. Verse 24 of this chapter, Leviticus 18. And so understand, we can have a thinking that nakedness would be okay in our family and in our home. But we need to be careful about it in there, because there's a lot of combinations in here that need to be watched. Verse number 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. So the Lord says they're defiling. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. That's a terrible picture, isn't it? But that's what the Lord says about it. And he says, listen, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. And he calls them that. And of course, at their furthest extent, they would be. neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. I think about our land. Right now, we're at this debauchery called spring break. Will any of us allow or send our children on spring break? May the Lord help us that we won't and won't support it in any way. We'll support it by encouraging it. We'll support it financially. We'll support it by permission. What's happening to our land just in that? Listen, young people, middle-aged people, old people do not need to sow wild oats. It's not a rite of passage that gives any benefit or advantage, certainly before the Lord. We're debauched by it. And a lot of things happen that ruin lives and mar lives that don't need to be. How about our land? Is our land vomiting us out as a people, as a nation because of our wicked ways? For all these abominations, verse 27, have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. The land, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, and that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. One might say, well, Brother Jim, that's specifically for Israel. And you're right, it is specifically for Israel. It is specifically for Israel. But embedded in this is a principle that God deals with and looks on upon at people. The Israelites were given a land indeed. But the thing is, the Lord was paying attention to the people that were in that land before them, which were not the Lord's people at all. What we sow, we reap. And so as the Lord's people, may we know about that and learn about that and cover up our nakedness and look to be found obedient to our Lord and not be defiled with these things, not be defiled with the ways of the world. You know, you mark it down. If the world is doing it and the world likes it and the world's chasing it and the world is all up about it and happy about it and thinks everything's great with it, watch out. You and I might need to beware. So I've been mentioning that to you, and I wanted to bring that out. So the Lord giving the land to the children of Israel is connected to the abominable way of those inhabitants before. We've taken a look here about Amalek, and we saw that Amalek is Esau's grandson, and so that goes way back. Israel has a battle with Amalek just coming out of Egypt early on. And then we caught up with why it was that the Lord, another reason the Lord is so against Amalek, because of the way that Amalek came after the weak and the weak and the slow and such as that, that was at the end of the train of Israel coming out. In Deuteronomy 25, Moses reminds the children of Israel in verse 18, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou was faint and weary. He feared not God. And so that was Moses reminding the children of Israel as they went into the land after that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, what Amalek did, and the Lord's disgust with Amalek because of what they had done. He said there in verse number 19 of that chapter in Deuteronomy 25, he says there in the last part, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. And so that's what the Lord said unto him. In Numbers chapter 13, that's where we want to pick up tonight. And we've touched on this in regards to the giants that were in the land. We went kind of over here where the 12 spies again were sent out and what was said there. And of course, they go out, they bring the 10 bring an evil report. They have fear. Brother Joshua and Brother Caleb, they're positive because the Lord told them to take the land, so let's go. They're all for it. Verse number 28 of Numbers 13, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land." This is what the 10 spies were saying. "And the cities were walled and very great." All these opposition things. "And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there," and we've considered that. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." So the Amalekites there, if you've got a map of in the back of your Bible, down there below Edom or at Edom or so, even further south going towards Egypt, that seemed to be the land of the Amalekites and where they were. And this was a protest that was put up by the 10 spies. And there's something about the Amalekites, it seems, in their wording. The Amalekites are the first, other than the giants, the Amalekites are the first that they mention. And I think that's for a reason. You've got the Jebusites. They're up there in what would become Jerusalem or Salem, as we've seen in the scriptures so far to this point. And then others about the Amorites, and others about these things are mentioned about the Canaanites and such as that. So they're all over the place. These nations are all over the place, the Amalekites. In Numbers 14, in Numbers chapter 14, this poor report, this doubtful report is brought by the 10 spies. Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua say, "Let's go." In verse number 30 of chapter 13, you turn back there, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Why? The Lord has told us to do so. Well, they halt, and they pull back, the children of Israel do. And in Numbers 14, verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Why? Because they saw it as an impossible thing for them to do. They murmured against Moses, verse number 2, and Aaron. And they said, "Why did you even bring us out of Egypt?" Verse number 3, here it gets worse. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword?" Don't they remember the promise? Haven't they seen all the things that they've seen? You know, this is a testimony about seeing the miraculous works of God does not necessarily bring conviction. What an individual needs to do is see the glory of the Lord Himself to have conviction. And we've got example after example after example after example after example of that in the Scriptures. These people saw the works of the Lord. Brother Moses, right there in the midst of them, saw the way of the Lord. Big difference. Big difference. Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua saw the way of the Lord. The children of Israel saw the works of the Lord. And the Scripture tells us that. And so here they're doubtful. They're blaspheming against God. And they said, "Let us make a captain," verse 4, "and get back home to Egypt." That's what they was. To go back even into slavery, they're willing. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to see the glory of our Lord and Him and His way, and not just the power of the Lord and not be shored up by that. Joshua and Caleb are there. They were of them that searched the land, verse number 6. They rent their clothes because they just cannot suffer this blasphemy. They spoke to the company, and they try to encourage them and turn them. They said, "Don't rebel against the Lord," verse number 9. Verse 10, they're ready. The congregation's ready to stone them. The Lord says in verse number 11 to Moses, "How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me?" That's what the Lord says. Believe me. It comes back to faith, doesn't it? What the Lord has said, what the Lord has promised, and you and me believing Him. He said, "For all the signs which I have showed among them," He threatens them to smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. Moses and Aaron intercede again. He tells about the Egyptians. Lord, the Egyptians are going to hear it. You brought them up. us to kill them. And Moses is not cocky or forward in this, but he intercedes. He intercedes. Look at that relationship between the Lord and Moses. He said, if you kill all this people as one man, verse number 15, the nations that have heard the fame of what's been done by you, they'll say things against you. They'll say that you weren't able to bring this people out of the land. Verse 17, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. That's what Moses saw when the Lord passed by him and he saw the glory of the Lord, about what the Lord spake about himself. He said, verse number 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, and so on. And the Lord said he pardoned it and all that. The children of Israel have bucked at going and doing what the Lord said by virtue of the report of these 10 spies. They don't even, Joshua and Caleb aren't even on the radar screen. But the 10, they listened to them. And so the Lord declares that He will pardon them, but they will die in the wilderness, except for brother Caleb and brother Joshua. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, hath followed me fully, and if followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse number 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. They've been told what to do. They didn't do it. They pulled up and said no. They bucked against the Lord. And now the Lord says, you need to steer away from the Canaanites and the Amalekites and get on down here by the way of the Red Sea. What's it say? And the Lord spake unto Moses there and say, how long will I bear with these people? He said, verse number 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. He said, why has the Lord brought us out here to kill us? And the Lord said, okay, that's what you want. That's what you think. That's what you believe out of me. That's what you get. It's a great message to you and me. When the Lord tells us to do something, we need to do it. And we don't need to blaspheme against the Lord and accuse the Lord ever of anything. Lord, you're doing this to me. No. Just keep your mouth shut. Maybe I keep my mouth shut. And we just say, Lord, help us and help us to follow you and obey you. He says, okay, you think you're going to die? You're going to die. Caleb's going to be spared. Joshua's going to be spared. Verse 31, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, I'll bring them in. Your carcasses shall fall, verse number 32. You'll wonder, your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and watch you die. And 40 days for every day for a year that the spies were out. And so, in verse number 36, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made the congregation to murmur against him, what's your witness? These men witness turned the congregation by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Those fellows are dead the next day. Even that day. Joshua and Caleb, they lived. And so, verse number 40. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up unto the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place that the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And the Lord told them, said, turn towards the way by the Red Sea to avoid the Canaanites and to avoid the Amalekites. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. You know what? The Lord tells us, and he's long-suffering, and he tells me and you, not by vision, not by the prophet, not by dream, but by this good book. And he tells us. But here's another example again of the Lord telling us how to operate, how to do, how to be, how to pursue, how to follow, how to obey. You know what? The Lord sometimes gets tired of telling us. and he'll say, this is the end. Now, I don't know what you may have in your life that's that way, but I tell you what, you need to beware. You and I need to beware. It applies to me too. When the Lord tells us something, we need to realize that sometime the Lord can get to a point that he'll quit telling us. And he'll just give us what we want. And may the Lord help us that we be an obedient people indeed to our Lord. They say, hey, we're ready to go. Let's go. We're going to do what the Lord told us. Too late. It's too late. Too late to do it the good way, the right way that the Lord gave yesterday. Because at the rebellion, at the blasphemy, the Lord said, we're going to do something else. See, the Lord told them what was going to happen to them. And once again, they didn't cry for mercy from the Lord. They didn't seek the long suffering of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord that he might turn from what he had declared to do them. They took it up themselves to go do it the way they wanted to do it. Say, okay, we're going to go. What you told us yesterday to go do, we're going to do that today. The Lord had told them last night, yesterday afternoon, you're going to die in the wilderness over the course of 40 years. They thought they could change that. Rather than crying to the Lord, rather than pleading the Lord, rather than seeking the mercy of the Lord, rather than repenting, they said what they were going to do. May the Lord help us to avoid this kind of way. May the Lord help us that we not be stubborn. Don't we see a representation here of a stubborn people? A people that say, it's my way. It's my way or the highway. I don't care what God says. It's no way to be. I tell you what, we need to be soft and pliable and willing and listen and obedient to what our Lord gives us. He's the same God. He's the same God. And you know what? He's revealed way more to you and me than these folks had revealed to them. And they were responsible, and you and I are responsible too. Go not up, verse number 42, for the Lord is not among you. I tell you what, do you want to go do anything with the Lord not be with you and not amongst us? I tell you what, church, we need the Lord amongst Olmsted Baptist Church for all that we do in our lives and our service of the Lord. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Watch out. Embarrassment lies ahead. And beyond embarrassment is defeat and even death. Listen to what it says here. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. So here we see not only way back at the early leaving of Egypt, but now being at Sinai and coming on around. If my memory serves me right, it seems like it's about a year before they have left Egypt. I'm thinking it's about that 9 months to a year or so since they've left Egypt and they're get over there ready to go in. And they have this rebellion here. At the sending forth of the spies and the evil report of the ten. Once again, the Amalekites. They're defeated by the Amalekites. And so here in Numbers, the Lord talks about offerings and such as that, different sin offerings and stuff. We have Korah in chapter 16. He rises up. And yet 250 princes of Egypt are struck with the plague, and Korah's household, along with Dathan's household and Abiram's household, the earth swallows them up. Why? They went against the Lord's man and the Lord's leader. And the thing is, does that mean that the Lord's man and the Lord's leader is perfect? No. Moses is a man just like every other man, just like you and me, but he was the one that was called. And you know what? A man that is called messes around and goes against and disobeys the Lord, abuses the people of the Lord and all that, the Lord will take and whip him too. But Moses was the man. How good he was, how imperfect he was, how bad he was the man. And they stood up against they didn't stand up against Moses, they stood up against the Lord. That's what they did, is they stood up against the Lord. And you know what, on a counterpoint of this is that the man of God that is not the man of God doesn't need to behave like he is the man of God. You know what? A man doesn't need to take a thing to himself when he hadn't been called. Okay? Because that can happen too. We have heard about it even recently. And so the Lord works in things, and we all need to know what the Lord's will is and follow the Lord in it. And so they suffer in that. And then the Lord makes a statement here about this doubt about the Lord, those that will stand before the Lord in the service of the Lord and such as that, the Levites, and how it will be that the Lord will determine who is going to do this. And so we have that account of Aaron's rod that buds and how it, and the Lord summarizes here in number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. That's the Lord's words. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me that they die not. So that testimony is there before them that the Lord will direct who he has to be the leadership amongst his people. We come on over here. In chapter 18, chapter 19 about the red heifer and those ashes and such, the traveling about the children of Israel and the Miriam dying, Moses' and Aaron's sister, in chapter 20, chapter 21, they had some troubles with the Canaanites, and so they fight against them in chapter 21, and the Lord gives them success. And then we have this about the brazen serpent, and the Lord refers to that in John chapter 3. And then there's this man, Balak. In chapter 22, we see here this fellow coming on the scene. Israel is moving. They're moving, and they've got a great reputation of the deliverance of the Lord. It says here in chapter 22 of Numbers, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. So that's up there east of Jerusalem. Jericho over there by the Jordan River, and they're over there on the other side of it. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And so the Canaanites, the Amorites, that they met up with them and success, and Moab was sore afraid of the people. Now, who's Moab? That's one of Lot's children, isn't it? Remember that? And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So they send for this fella, Balaam. He's a prophet, and there's debate about Balaam, whether he is a prophet of the Lord truly or not. I'm of the opinion that he is. He's just a man that has become wayward. And so this man, Balak, calls Balaam to prophesy against Israel. And if you know the account, he can't do it. He can't do it. He can't prophesy against them. He just cannot. Balak offers him all kinds of wealth, prosperity, and all that. And he just cannot do it. He cannot do it. We come to chapter 24, and we see and verse number 1 of chapter 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. So he's looking out over where Israel is, and now the Lord's given him order. And all those tribes are lined up. The tabernacle is there in the middle, and he sees all that. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, the man whose eyes are open, has said. He has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. And he goes on and yet blesses them again, because there's no fighting against the Lord's people. Verse number 9, he coucheth, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed be he that blesseth thee, and curseth as he that curseth thee. And so Balak's anger is kindled, and he threatens Balaam. And Balaam takes up this parable, and verse number 15, and we come here to verse number 20, and he's going here, verse number 17. And I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. The blessing just keeps on going for Israel. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This is prophetic of the Lord Jesus. And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheph. And Edom shall be a possession. That's Esau. Seir, his mountain, also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, so here's Amalek again. Evidently this vantage point that Balaam has is he's able to look a long way and see all these different regions of these nations. And it may be that there's mountains there, seemingly. Well, up there by Jericho, there's certainly mountains there on the west side of the Jordan River. And evidently he's over there. There may be some mountains over there to the east where he's at, but he can see a long way. And Edom is way on down south from where his vantage point is. And he looked on Amalek, verse 20. He took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. Isn't that interesting? Maybe that's the reason that Amalek is listed first by the spies that came back with that evil report. They've been there and they've been long and they've been established, the Amalekites. They've been there a long time. How can a peewee nation like us, just getting started the other day, so to speak, earlier this year or last year, those 10 spies said, how can we overcome a nation that's been here for hundreds of years? The Lord. That's how. Because the Lord said it. And that's what Brother Caleb and Brother Joshua held to and believed, and Brother Moses. He looked on Amalek, took up his parable, and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. The Lord does with the nations what he wants to, doesn't he? Yeah, he's working that. Some would say, well, if the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and the Lord sets up the rulers, and the Lord's going to do with the nations whatever he wants to do, then what's the use? You and I are told to live and to live for the Lord and to petition a merciful and a righteous God that loves mercy and does all things well as we live here in this world. And who knows what our Lord will do? Because we're living here in this life right now. Our Lord knows the beginning from the end. He does. But you and I are living today. And we need to desire good things that honor and glorify our Lord and do well and vote right and seek mercy from the Lord. Who knows what the Lord will do? And he goes on, looks at the Kenites and so on. We see here Balaam's prophecy against Amalek and that of his prophecy against Jacob, Israel. And which side would you want to be on? I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not an Amalekite. Aren't you? All right. We're going to stop here for now. Lord willing, next time we'll come here and take a look. Much is mentioned in the book of Judges about the Amalekites. They just continue to be a plague. Very interesting. They continue to be a plague. like the Philistines, but seemingly older than the Philistines in its beginning, from what we see Balaam says here and his prophecy against them. And we're going to see how the Lord, what the Lord had promised about the destruction of Amalek, how he's going to bring that to pass, and different ones that he uses to do it. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, don't be found as God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be found as his enemy. You will not prosper. You can take and you can ball up in your heart and you can want your own way like the children of Israel did. And you know what? It will cost you everything. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you your life. I tell you what, surrender to the Lord. Believe the Lord. He's a merciful God unto repentant sinners. The unrepentant bear his wrath. And he has wrath indeed. Because you know what? Sin will be dealt with by our Lord. He'll not let one sin pass. And you've got more sins. You've got more sins than you can even know, having transgressed against a holy and righteous God. But you know what? There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for the repentant before God, and there's forgiveness also for the one that will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him, his death, burial, and resurrection, to have paid your price for your sins, to have being buried and risen from the dead for you so that you might live. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We point you to him. I tell you what, don't be his enemy. There's no future in it. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him. We pray for you that the Lord would open your heart and reveal himself unto you. That's between you and him. And we pray that you'll call out unto him. You'll seek his face in every way.